But I never doubted Luke Skywalker. I'm like, yeah, they're Gamorrean guards. They're gross. They deserved it. Howdy. Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. So glad that you decided to join us. Man, am I excited. Do we have a show for you tonight? We've got Star Wars Episode 7 has officially wrapped filming. The end of an era. This will be a day long remembered. Hey, welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm Riley Blanton, one of the hosts here at the podcast. So glad you've tuned in. We're in for a roll of a ride here at the Star Wars Report. And hey, if you like Star Wars, if you're into stuff from that galaxy far, far away, you've tuned in to the right podcast. Let me bring into the program my good friend in the Force, and sister, Bethany Blanton. Welcome to the program.
Wait, what? I'm here?
Who? We are here. Yes, indeed. Welcome back. You had quite a start. You did we blocked out the segment of last week's show, the whole opening segment. And Bethany's like, 3 minutes before we go live, all right, Riley, I got something. And man, did you. You had a great, great piece on last week's episode at the opening on kind of criticism and fandom and its role. And
and legitimate critiquing. Yeah. Versus trolling.
Well, exactly. And we won't get into all that here again, but hey, tune into last week's episode if you're interested in hearing that conversation. And just like a quick shout out at the beginning of the episode, huge thank you to the overwhelming and awesome response and support from all of you fine Bothans listening to this show. So huge thank you. We had so many emails and stuff, and we can feature some of that at a later point, but I just wanted to right out the gate send out a huge thank you, because you know what? It turns out the majority of Star Wars Report listeners are listeners, and as we kind of call it, Mark likes to use the term Bothans, and I think we need to use that a little bit more. Our fellow Bothans.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. So that's all that's there that to say. Let's also...
Well, I did want to say thank you as well, and thank you definitely for all your tweets, all your emails. I started to lose track of them, and it was very encouraging, I would say is the correct word for that, because I do like receiving criticism, but when it comes to trolling, that just kind of turns me into sad podcaster Bethany. So,
Exactly. No, it does. And again, like I say, some great, great points that you made on last week's episode, and you guys can jump back to that one. But for this episode, it's all news pretty much. And we're going to process, I don't know, stuff like, John Williams possibly scoring episode 7. Not just episode 7 though, episode 7's trailer. We'll talk about that. We've got, some interesting notes from the cast and crew. Beard Watch is over. Star Wars Battlefront is here next year. And Ewan McGregor still hates Star Wars fans. Or does he? It's all in this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. But before we jump into all that, let's bring into the program my good friend. Yes, wait. Our good friend, please forgive me. We met him at Star Wars Fan Days in October of 2011.
He's so nice. He's everybody's good friend.
He wears the most amazing Mickey ears at Star Wars celebrations at the end of the line. He is the co-host of the Wampa's Lair podcast. He is a student, actor extraordinaire, podcaster, Star Wars fan, and all-around awesome human being. Welcome to the program, Jason Hunt!
Wow, I am a little intimidated by the flowering... introduction. I hope I live up to it.
Oh, I can but hope to do justice to the man, the myth, Jason Hunt. Jason, you guys, you're the first. You and Carl are the first podcasters that joined us on the Star Wars Report podcast empire, which is, I think, officially what I'm going to start calling ourselves. And as I type into my internet browser, StarWarsReport.com, and look at the many writers and podcasts we have featured on the site in our second Airborne division, whether it's Beyond the Films or Star Wars Bookworms or Star Wars Rebels Roundtable. The Wampa's Lair was the first to join us shortly after we did. And you guys celebrated your 100th episode, so a belated congratulations to you here on the air.
Thank you very much.
We're excited to have you, man.
Yeah, it's great. It's been a while since I've been on Star Wars Report, and Indeed. It was great having you guys on our 100th episode to help us celebrate all that fun stuff. So I'm just looking forward to the time when we can see each other face-to-face again at Olive Garden.
Yes. So
we thought we were going to say Star Wars Celebrate. No, Olive Garden. In Anaheim, California, of course. But
Of course.
Speaking of which, man, that thing's like 6 months away. Good Lord. I'm so excited.
It's really exciting because we have at least 10 of our staff who are for sure going.
Yes, you were doing that today. You were asking like the Star Wars Report folks, people on the old Star Wars Report team. And 10 of us.
Mm-hmm. I may have gotten a little overzealous and started excitedly texting everybody. And figuring out
yes,
media passes.
I woke up and one of the first texts on my phone was, "Hey, you're planning on going to Celebration Anaheim, right?" And I was like, "Yes, that's the idea." It's funny because you texted me and then Carl will text me sometimes. And since I'm way like almost on the West Coast, not quite on Western on the Pacific time, but everybody else is on Eastern time, I'll wake up and I've already got texts from people out there who've been up for like 3 hours. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm so behind in my day. But
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. But I'll tell you what, it is, the time difference is definitely something that in today's age of internet fandom, we can all overcome.
Oh, yes. Heavens,
mm-hmm. We do the Hobbit, the Secrets of the Hobbit podcast with Father Roderick Van Hogen in the Netherlands.
My.
Which is like an 8-hour difference, if I'm thinking right. I'm probably wrong. It's a fun era that we live in. But you're one of the guys that we've actually been able to hang out with in person, and that's always awesome. So that really does make a big difference. So you've got Star Wars Celebration coming up in Anaheim. Any other big events that you're planning on going to in the next year or two?
Well, funny you should mention that. A week from today, we are recording this on the 2nd of November, which is a Sunday. A week from today will be the final day of Tucson Comic Con, and which I will be going to. And I will be part of a panel that is discussing Star Wars Episode 7.
That's awesome.
Awesome. How did this come about? So Tucson Comic Con, is this like a Wizard World thing? Or
I don't believe so. I think it's just a Comic Con, probably sort of a subset of Phoenix Comic Con. But it's a smaller convention. I think last year they had about 10,000 people. One of our Larians, Joey Letson, he's involved with the team there. And he was asked to put together some sort of Star Wars panel. And he let me know since I'm in the area, because he lives here in Tucson. And he asked me if I'd be interested to come on the panel. And I said yes. And we actually had lunch today to sort of talk about what exactly we're doing. So that's exciting.
That's awesome. Congratulations, man. Yeah. No, we've got Episode 7. I mean, that's the talk of the town. I mean, we've had a lot of news this week. And I guess without further ado, I think we should just jump straight into our new segment for the week.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Indeed, we have so much news to talk about this week.
We have something to report.
We have something to report.
Okay, Jason, you win, hands down.
All right, it's over. All right, impression competition, intentional or unintentional, is over. Hey, guys, John Williams is set to record the Episode 7 trailer. This is according to the John Williams fan site, actually, but it's like coming up in about 2 weeks. November 15th is when he is set to record. So this is according to the John Williams fan network. And they're saying a reliable source just said John Williams received a trailer from J.J. Abrams on Monday, October 20th, and has already written new Star Wars music to accompany this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This new trailer will feature new music and will be recorded on November 15th in Los Angeles. I think that's how you pronounce it, right? Los Angeles. Anyway, full orchestra. So,
That actually makes me really excited.
John Williams.
Like I was already really excited about the trailer, which is, I wonder how my excitement level to the trailer and the film will be, because you'd think that I would be that much more excited about the film, but I'm already so excited about the trailer, especially with this news, that I'm wondering how my heart can take the level of excitement that I might have for the film. It's a dilemma, folks.
I know. It is indeed. But I'll tell you what, I'm super excited about it. And I guess, other than to say that, hey, it's John Williams and it's Star Wars. Let's see. Jumping on to our next story, two Clone Wars actors, voice actors specifically, have been cast in Star Wars Rebels. This is
cast or rumored?
Rumored to be cast. I should be technically correct here for making Star Wars. Evidently, there's this guy named Andrew Cuccino who's involved. But more importantly, Sam Witwer is deeply involved with Star Wars Rebels, according to Making Star Wars.
So this is
an actual point where if Sam Witwer to play a character in Star Wars Rebels, Jason, who do you think it would be?
Oh, anybody. I really don't think Darth Maul's showing up in Star Wars Rebels, but I think it would be some sort of Imperial.
I mean, his Emperor.
Maybe a secondary Inquisitor.
As Bobby Roberts mentioned to me on Twitter the other day, of the Amazing Full of Sith podcast, he said, I hear he does a great Sheev impression.
Yeah, but this is true. I mean,
bringing in the Sheevs. I like that idea.
Bringing in the Sheevs.
Yeah, but at Dragon Con, we heard Sam do an impression of the Emperor, which, of course, you can also hear in the Force Unleashed game. But he is good at that. That could be it. I would love to see him in a new role, honestly, though. No. There are other people who can voice the Emperor, and I would love to see Sam Witwer in a new role just because, I mean, he brings so much voice character. So.
Absolutely. No, I'll tell you what. Like, this piece of news is just a rumor, but Sam Witwer is one of those guys that I really respect because of his involvement in the fan community, and that kind of equity that he's put in by really being involved is something that I would love to see more of in terms of, you know, in terms of seeing him actually get a reward for that. And like, I know he's mentioned, like, there were plans for The Force Unleashed 3, and man, I'm just sad that that's not coming to fruition. But speaking of Star Wars Rebels, now this was the big news of last week. We didn't have a chance to talk about it a whole lot, but I just wanted to get your guys' take on Star Wars Rebels so far. Specifically, on ABC, they aired infamous Darth Vader scene. It was like a big marketing push. There was a network debut of Spark of Rebelling, and right at the beginning of the film, you get to hear something along the lines of this.
Yet your task is not complete, Inquisitor. The Emperor has foreseen a new threat rising against him. The children of the Force. They must not become Jedi.
Yes, Lord Vader.
Hunt down this new enemy. And if they will not serve the Empire, eliminate them along with any surviving Jedi who would train them. This is my master's command.
And so it will be done.
That had me so excited to see that clip of the Inquisitor talking to Darth Vader as voiced by the original Darth Vader, James Earl Jones.
That's pretty much my feelings, too. I know some people have complained about Rebels for a couple of reasons. One being that we're living in the age of the OT, and we're not seeing the OT's main villains. But I do think that Kanan as a Jedi is definitely on the Imperials' radar as someone they need to hunt down. And this is definitely proof of that. But I don't really think, I mean, it's not Obi-Wan, it's not Yoda, it's not some famous Jedi Master or even a well-known Jedi Knight. Kanan was just a Padawan when, you know, everything went down. And honestly, he's not that important as far as a Jedi fugitive would go. He's down, I mean, yes, he's a Jedi fugitive, which makes him somewhat important, but not, again, not like on a big level. But seeing that, yes, the Sith definitely are aware that this is happening, and Darth Vader is definitely making sure that all Jedi wind up getting rounded up in some way, shape, or form.
What has me most interested about this clip is that he mentions, he either says the children of the Jedi or the children of the Force, and I don't remember which one he said.
Yes, multiples.
But there's multiples, which yes. means that we could see some other people, some other younglings that may have been shuttled off, you know, hidden away by the masters who stayed behind to defend them and then perished. You know, it makes me excited because we could get more Jedi type characters or Force sensitive type characters in the show, which makes me very, very happy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, and it's interesting because it really does a good job of communicating why Darth Vader doesn't have to be the guy hunting down the Jedi. Because I kind of always thought that Darth Vader was the dude and that there were like 20 Jedi who escaped the Purge and it was him on a giant hunt to destroy the remainder. You know, the Jedi are all but extinct, and I thought that, you know, you were the last of that ancient religion. And I always kind of thought of it that way, but the way Rebels is kind of portraying it with a whole security bureau who, Agent Kallus, who then he goes on, he's like, oh, well, it might be a Force user, so we'll go up to the next level of the chain of command. All right, well, let's travel on up. All right, it's the Inquisitor. The Inquisitor's all like, he's like, Inquisitor, I've encountered a rebel cell, you know, because he has that really cool voice.
You did well to call.
And then you have the Inquisitor, who's not even like, he's the second tier. He's the Asajj Ventress of Star Wars Rebels, and he reports to Vader. And then Vader, so if Vader gets involved, you know it's like Obi-Wan. And I still, at some point, and I was listening to this week's edition of Rebel Force Radio, and Jimmy Mack made an interesting point that I'd love to kind of touch on here. I like the idea of the Inquisitor's days being numbered, and that at some point he will face off, he will get too ambitious, as all villains do, and try to take on Darth Vader before he's ready, and will suffer the same fate as Count Dooku.
Yes, or he fails Vader for the last time, and they have a duel as he tries to save himself.
I mean, I would be all for that. I think that would be a definite cool direction to go for sure. Ewan McGregor has some unkind words for Star Wars fans, or at least it depends on how you spin it. But let's just go straight to the interview. In an interview that he did with, I'm trying to remember the magazine. This is not. It wasn't Entertainment Weekly, but they have the original source. Details Magazine was who he did an interview with, and basically, here's what he said. In the interview details, McGregor opened up about his limited interaction with Star Wars fans. The actor claims, in fact, that he doesn't have any experience with actual fans of the franchise, having never been to, quote, one of those conventions. Excuse me. One of those conventions. I can't do a Ewan McGregor. Where's James Arnold Taylor? next best thing. Let's go to Jason Hunt. How would Ewan McGregor scornfully say one of those conventions?
To one of those conventions, perhaps. I'm not sure. I don't know, because he doesn't sound like Obi-Wan in normal speak.
That's true. That's a tough line to walk because he's very Scottish. To one of those conventions. instead, McGregor said that he'd only met the effers who were not real fans. These fans were more interested in selling his signature online than actually interacting with him. They're not fans. They're parasitical lowlifes.
I'd censor a little here.
and bleeping bleepers.
Yeah.
There we go. So yeah, Ewan McGregor.
There you have it.
To say what Tarkin said, charming to the last. yeah, no. It's one of those things where if you read the full interview, which I've read the parts where he talks about Star Wars, he really doesn't like the autograph hawks. And at one point even specifically mentions how like the weird people shoving Obi-Wan.
Shoving children against barricades, I believe was the, was the phrase
Obi-Wan,
he said.
Pictures of Obi-Wan for him to autograph, you know, in his face and at premieres and stuff. And it's really him exposing himself to the worst side of fandom.
Yeah.
He says one of those conventions.
He should come to Celebration Anaheim and so he could meet the real fans.
Well, it's fun. Yeah. Well, the greatest irony is if they hire him to do these rumored Obi-Wan spinoff films. That we haven't really talked a lot about on the show.
That would be kind
of
funny.
Because I don't really... It's one of those rumors that I don't really think has a lot of it's one of those sources say rumors, right? But I'll tell you what. Like, if... if he's forced to do the Obi-Wan films, I could see him singing a little bit of a different tune. But I mean, this is one of those things that McGregor's one of those actors who you could see the enthusiasm. Jason, you've seen the giant documentary for Episode One that came out on the DVD, right?
Oh yes.
You see those interviews with like the 21-year-old bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Ewan McGregor, and he's all like in his that white undershirt, right? And you remember, and he's playing around with the lightsabers. He's like a kid. He's like, if I were cast in a Star Wars movie, I would have been Ewan McGregor. And
he's already gone on record to say that they had to stop and reshoot scenes because he was making the lightsaber sounds himself.
Exactly. So I mean, what happened, Ewan McGregor?
Well, he still has that bright-eyed look when you watch the interviews that are on the episodes 2 and 3 DVDs too. I mean, he loves the franchise. He's had a great time working on it, but all these autograph hawks that run out to these premieres are, you know, knocking over kids and more interested in selling his autograph on eBay or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, come to a convention where people want to sit and talk with you and, you know, get your autograph, yes, but get your picture and ask you questions and things like that. Expose yourself to us, not them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even like
us versus them thing.
Yeah, I hate to, you know, I want to tread carefully in this area, and it's something that I think is worth mentioning here. There are people who call themselves fans who behave in horrible ways, who are gatekeepers, who say horrible things to people. And
I mean, let's be honest.
I would hate to call them fans because they're such horrible representatives. At the same time, I don't want to become a gatekeeper myself and say this and this are what it requires to become a fan. So it's a careful balance. But I think if you act in a way that is that horribly insulting and is hurtful to, I mean, poor kids who are trying to see their hero, then I think... Yeah, that's where you're really messing up. And it's like, you know, I came into the fan community. I was talking on Twitter last night. I came into the fan community with this bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, very naive thought that, well, you know, geeks kind of know what it's like to be an outcast, so they must be very friendly and welcoming and inclusive. And I've discovered over the years that's not necessarily the case. And actually got into a bit of a Twitter back and forth with Bonnie Burton last night and somebody else who...
I would say the back and forth was with the somebody else. The back and forth was with Bonnie Burton, somebody just to clarify. Else.
Just to clarify.
That was a great moment. Like last night, it was like you retweeted something she said about how cool it was in the most recent Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode that Adrian Pilecki, of course, Friday Night Lights fame, who's now in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is wearing a Star Wars shirt in the show. It's like, oh, it's cool. It's Marvel. It's Disney. It's kind of a crossover. It's kind of cool. She's kind of representing another franchise.
And Adrian is a well-known geek and Star Wars fan.
Absolutely. And so let me just insert the I'll say in my best impression of said tweeter, bet Disney paid her to do it.
Oh,
actually,
really?
Made her do it.
See,
as in, like, forced her.
Adrian Pilecki, you must play in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But the catch is, you must wear a Star Wars shirt.
I can picture her being dragged, kicking and screaming from the dressing room. I won't wear this shirt. Like, yes, you will. We're gonna make you.
But I'm a huge fan of Captain Kirk. No, Star Wars.
Oh goodness. Anyway, so I had retweeted that tweet of Bonnie's, and this person came back saying that, and it turned into this essentially hour-long Twitter off and on duel.
It was a conversation was born from the moment.
Yeah, I'll put it that way. It ended
Brendan
with.
Just gave me the greatest look. It's like, yeah, really, a conversation.
It ended with me saying PSA from Bonnie Burton in all caps to quote her. You know, there are Star Wars female fans too, something along those lines, because that's what she was driven to put.
Well, so to say, so some people who would consider themselves fans may be Ewan McGregor might be right. Maybe there are parasitical lowlives that occasionally show their heads. Maybe he's just calling it like he sees it. Maybe that's his experience. And you know what? As far as you mentioned gatekeeping, I think like gatekeeping is where you're constructing definitions around what is required for you to like to be part of a fandom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not gatekeeping to say these are basic human decency practices, and if you don't do them, you're not welcome here. Right, and that's not gatekeeping. That's like, here's an idea. Don't shove children to try to get poor Ewan McGregor.
So that's a keeping the geek culture, gaming culture, Star Wars fan culture, keeping that a basically, as Steve Glossman would say, a safe place to geek out.
It's like he came up with this brilliant saying that we need to start using.
Yeah. Oh, so the PSA that Bonnie,
you know what? After
Burton
Gamergate,
was,
that's become a great saying.
Yeah.
We do need safe places to geek out.
Indeed.
Yep. Don't mm-hmm. we?
Yeah, yes. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we can't have people disagree with us. Disagreeing is fine, but it's when you start behaving like a jerk about it or worse that becomes an issue.
Yeah.
When you start making Bonnie Burton on Twitter basically do the Twitter equivalent of screaming in all caps, female Star Wars fans exist, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, point being, Adrian Pilecki might just be an awesome Star Wars fan who decided that it was a great opportunity to wear a Star Wars shirt in another nerdy TV show, and that would be cool to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a possibility.
It is.
Right?
I mean, shocker of all shocks, people like Star Wars and like to wear Star Wars t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
What
including
in the world
people who are
is...
girls.
Exactly.
that's my surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand, I think Ewan is being a bit harsh here, just in the sense that he hasn't gone to, quote, one of those conventions. And maybe if he did, he would discover the majority of fandom would be a positive thing to be exposed to.
I just noticed at the bottom of this Entertainment Weekly story that it says, this story has been updated. An earlier version of the story had spelled Alec Guinness as Alex McGuinness.
Oh man!
Speaking of the great Jedi Master, like, isn't there like some kind of karma that
hilarious.
Is James Earl Taylor going to become a bitter old man and be like, "Oh, I hate Star Wars. Screw those fans." No, James is
that won't
nice.
Ever happen.
Yeah,
James will be like,
"That's James from the alternate universe where Spock is evil."
That's true. Evil James Arnold Taylor, mm-hmm. like that. I can't even imagine it. It would be comedic.
I can't actually either.
He would have. I was gonna say he would have a beard, but I think James already.
You know
has
what? I can kind of see him pacing back and forth with a cat in his arms, though.
Maybe
true,
maybe.
But then he'd probably
Consent
go, "Oh,
cat,
precious
probably.
Kitty," and start petting it, and then I'd be like, "Nope, evil James is gone."
Yeah,
forever.
Alec. I mean, tell you what, like this is the fact that Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor both have kind of had this exposure and experience with Star Wars fandom. Probably Ewan McGregor more so. I'm surprised in some ways. I mean. Alec Guinness was like notoriously mean about it. Like he was like, there's some kid, there's stories of kids saying, Mr. McGregor, or excuse me, Mr. Guinness, what, I loved Star Wars, what are we going to do? And he was like, looked at them and the Revenge of the Sith music came up and he's like, no, no, I won't give you my autograph.
Don't ever watch that movie again.
I'm Alec Guinness. I say things like wretched hive of scum and villainy. Don't watch Star Wars.
I have become a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
You must do what you feel is right, of course. Ewan McGregor. Take two. Ewan McGregor one day will hate Star Wars just as much as I do.
But the thing is I don't think he's hating Star Wars. He's just having frustrating experiences with Star Wars. Fans or autograph mm-hmm. hounds. So
yeah.
Well, and I would also have to say if your only experience is red carpet type experiences or the street experience, Like, honestly, if I saw Ewan McGregor walking by and he looked really busy, I don't think I would interrupt him.
I would just shout really loudly, I loved you, it's train spotting!
Oh, goodness. Yeah, but and the fans who, and shifting more of that, and are willing to interrupt at any cost, disrupt your day, disrupt your red carpet premiere, shove little kids over to try to get your autograph, et cetera, et cetera, then, I mean, if that's all you experience, who can really truly blame him for that?
Yeah. No. I mean, you can't really, honestly. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Well, I just took a glance at our show notes. Let's transition to our next news story, which is actually something I wanted to put in here. It's not technically Star Wars exactly, but
I think it's relevant.
But I'm going to make it as many things in my life. I'm going to make it about Star Wars. Marvel Studios announced their full Phase 3 slate, so basically December Star Wars month. Now you're asking, like, Riley, what about how is this a thing? Well, basically, Marvel announced, and I'm pulling up the actual image so that I can actually get all these dates right. May 2016. So basically, we know next year you have the Avengers Age of Ultron. There are no strings on me. Avengers Age of Ultron. And then, of course, later in the summer.
Evil Pinocchio.
Yep.
I got no strings. Man. Which, by the way, let's stop for a second and just say how amazing that trailer was. Like, just so excited.
Yes. Incredible.
So excited.
But,
so excited.
Marvel Studios.
Marvel Studios announced basically every single, all the movies. They announced all the movies. All the movies are coming out. So, of course, next year, like I said, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then Ant-Man filming right now 5 miles from my house. Have I talked about this? Yes, I have. But I'll say it again. A freaking Marvel movie is filming 5 miles from my house. Pinewood Studios, Peachtree City, Georgia. Look it up. It's awesome. I'm so excited. I'm so sad that I wasn't able to apply to be an extra because of stupid things like college. But I'll tell you what, like, the fact that maybe they'll film one of these other films here, that just has me so excited. Every time I drive down Highway 54 and I look out past the Fayette County Hospital and there's the sign that says Pinewood Studios, no relation to the Pinewood Studios in London, by the way, I just smile. I just smile a little bit in my heart. But yes, so 2016 in May, it's Captain America. And then in November, it's Doctor Strange. 2017, I'm going to a May release date for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, a July release date for Thor. And then also, wow, then a November for the Black Panther. 3 Marvel flagship films in 2017. Good heavens. Then, of course, May 2018 is The Avengers, and it's Infinity War Part 1. And then July that year, Captain Marvel. Back to May for the second Avengers film, 2019, and then November 2018, rather, for Inhumans. I didn't get the order quite chronologically, but basically the point is it's May, June, May, July, with the occasional November release date thrown in there.
Yeah, and between that and Warner Brothers, there are, what, 20?
Yeah, Warner Brothers announced their slates, too, and they're all packed. But
20 superhero movies in the next 5 years, I think, like if that. I remember
Ridiculous.
Correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
My Lord.
I mean, this is just like, again, let's think about DC where you have
will have no money for the next 5 years.
I know.
I mean, you think about it. You have DC with Batman versus Batman 5, Superman, Dawn of Justice, as Steve Glosson has wont to say. And then you have, I mean, I'm just going off the top of my head, Aquaman. You have the
2 Justice League movies.
2 Justice League movies. And then whatever they have a couple others too that I'm not thinking of right now.
Wonder Woman and.
Yeah.
And then a Fantastic Four reboot, which is not them. But anyway, so many superhero movies.
So
it looks like December, guys. Around every Christmas is when we'll be seeing a Star Wars film. Because there's no way they're going to put stack a Star Wars film against a Marvel Studios film. Just because there's so much overlap. You do hurt yourself. Like, maybe as long as there's a month. So maybe I could see a late summer release, perhaps. Or maybe an April release. But beyond that, I think Christmas looks like the new home for Star Wars films.
And I'm okay with that.
You know,
because after this Christmas, with The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies,
yes.
Yay!
I need something else to go see in the middle of December to round out my movie watching year. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, and especially it needs to be something that I want to see several times.
I love seeing movies. I mean, as a college student, I do prefer seeing movies in the theater during the summer or Christmas break, just because going to see a movie does entail, like, well, you have 2 hours of this, and you have half an hour to hour of driving, and you have the inevitable fact that you're going to get hungry and you're going to need to eat, and then bam, that's 4 hours out of your evening. And as a college student, if you're working on a paper or working on a test, that gets a little stressful.
Yes.
For exactly. Seeing a single film.
For sure, for sure. Star Wars Battlefront's arriving. Speaking of Christmas, holiday 2015, Star Wars Battlefront's going to be here. EA actually tweeted out the release date, and they're just like, dropped the bomb 3 days ago. Star Wars Battlefront will release holiday 2015. May the Force be with you. Drop the mic. Walk away. I mean, there's not really a lot to say other than, hey, guys, Battlefront's out. I love Battlefront. It's my favorite Star Wars game ever, and it's coming out again. And that concept studio from last year's E3 was amazing. And hopefully this year's E3, or I guess next year's E3, has even more awesomeness to talk about. But the last thing I want to talk about in this segment before we transition out is episode 7. This is the culminate. It's funny because last week we did the segment where I kind of had the feeling of people tweeting about them wrapping filming. Like, oh, it's a good time to kind of look back on the past 2 years and just see what it was like. Not even thinking about it intentionally last week, that this week is the 2 year anniversary that Star Wars episode 7 was announced. 2 years ago this week. And kind of in the context of keeping that in mind, I wanted to talk about these next few news stories and kind of reflect upon episode 7 once again based on this light. And so let's talk about the beard's gone. Mark Hamill tweeted out an awesome photo of himself with his lovely wife out in at Pinewood Studios in England. And again, looking slim, trim, healthy, and excited. I guess this Instagram pic wasn't of him and his wife. I did see one. It must have been from a rap party or something. But this one that I'm looking at here, that's in the show notes. And
he had two. He had this one and the one with his wife.
Thank you. It's so exciting. That's Luke Skywalker.
Yes. Beard, because I mean, that thing was a monster, I'm sure he was looking forward to the day he could shave it off.
I do prefer him without the beard.
Yeah.
I really do, but anyway.
We'll be interested. Can't talk about it.
It's my military bias. that's what I'll call it.
I wanted to say something, but we're not in a spoiler segment, so I'm not going to say it. There's that. So the beard's gone, and finally, there's a note given to cast and crew. This broke, I think, yesterday or the day before. It's just amazing. And I wanted to read a good excerpt from it right now here on the show, and before we feature some pictures, and I'm going to play some audio that I have from the Star Wars Episode 7 cast and crew rap party, which they're putting the party in rap party
as in WRAP,
as in it, by the way. Well, kind of both a little bit. Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. From the Episode 7 crew, one of the crew actually, I think, tweeted this out, and it was public. There is some interesting information, but it's just basically, it was a true honor and absolute joy to come to set every day and work alongside with each of you. Your professionalism, passion, and patience is more deeply appreciated than we could ever express. From the deserts of Abu Dhabi to the forest of Dean.
By the way, confirming.
I'm just going to pause that for a minute. To the stages of Pinewood, you have risen to every challenge and have been as wonderfully kind as you are brilliantly talented. Our ambition here is large. Of course, and it must be. We are here to make a film that entertains millions of people of all ages for generations, to create an experience people will cherish, watching as much as we will cherish having made it together. How lovely it would be if you had, in addition to your name on the screen, some actual, real, tangible proof that you were part of it. Here then is that proof. Wear it well, and wear it healthily, wear it proudly, but mostly, thank you, with love, J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, and then there are two other signatures. One other signature, but I don't know the third signature, I'm afraid. But, yeah, it was just such... I mean, it's just a thank you note, but it just tells you the approach and the mindset that comes into the leadership making this film. And there's a kind of reverence here that I think wouldn't be there if this were a George Lucas-led production. And that's really what struck me. By yes, it confirms that they did shoot in the Forest of Dean. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's...
Which I think is kind of
notably,
fun.
Notably, they did not mention Skellig Michael Ireland. Skellig Michael Ireland. I guess, just take a brief serious note. It's just the level of reverence and respect that there is for the material they're using and the grandiosity of their claim and ambition for this film is just such an encouragement. And this is basically the thank you note version of Kevin Smith on set. and I like yes. that. I like that.
Yeah. It's a really lovely note. And I almost wish I got one, but of course I had nothing to do with episode 7. So
you watch out, sir. You'll be doing voiceover for the trailer to episode 9 if we're not careful.
For sure. I hope so.
And, yeah. And that was
from your mouth to Kathleen Kennedy's ears.
I wish that were so. So yeah, and I think finishing up our segment will be this Instagram. Oh wait, I've got to actually load the page here because unfortunately,
I don't know. It just seems like the whole JJ may be very elusive when it comes to fully giving us a lot of information from set or tidbits or highlights or like any production diaries or anything of that sort, of which we've lamented several times or more on this show. But when he does give us things, it's like a glimpse into the culture of the episode 7 set. And by that, it seems to show us just how much fun everybody was having and how close they became. Yeah. The friendships that are made when you're making a film like that.
And
so, and it makes my heart warm.
And so having waxed eloquent on all of these inspiring events that have transpired this past week, let's kind of end our new segment with a little bit of audio from, I believe this is, yeah, from John Boyega's Instagram of him and Daisy Ridley just partying the house down in London, England. Star Wars Episode 7 has wrapped shooting.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Apology accepted, Captain Nita.
And I'd like to welcome to the program now and do a special introduction for a new staff writer for us here at Star Wars Report. And I wanted to do kind of a formal introduction. What's the technical word that we would use in Arnold Air Society? An initiation into the Star Wars Report family. It's Joseph Tavano. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did. You get major points for that.
Hey, all right. Yay. I feel good. It's better than how much I butchered poor Jonna Marie Macias.
Jonna Marie.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
You said Jonna Marie.
No, it's Jonna Marie.
I'm done. Podcast is over.
Well, the hard thing is you read a person's name sometimes for months, if not years, before you hear it pronounced. And then you're like, oh. And then it takes you so long to rewrite that in your brain.
Indeed. I'll tell you what. So, I'd love to. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we, you've actually been working with us in an official capacity for a couple of weeks now, and you've just now been at Rhode Island Comic Con, and we're gonna have to ask you about your experience there. But before we do, I'd like to just do like a quick rapid fire round of kind of Star Wars questions. And here's how the segment works. Now, whenever we bring someone new to the team, we always like to officially kind of have them on the Star Wars Report podcast, the main podcast here for StarWarsReport.com, and ask them some Star Wars questions. And here's the rules. Riley asks whatever first Star Wars question comes to his mind, and then you have to answer it really quickly in a sentence or two or less.
Okay.
So the first one is... What is the grossest moment in Star Wars for you? It is Halloween week.
Okay, that's the first time I've ever heard that question.
Well, I'm telling you what, this isn't just like, what's your favorite character? No. This is real stuff now. We don't take the easy shots here at the Star Wars Report.
Not at all. Star Wars Report digging deep and diving deep into reporting.
Indeed.
Grossest moment. Let's see. Oh my gosh, I can't even. Star Wars isn't gross. It's not gross at all. It's so fun and family friendly.
We'll include the books too. Then there we go.
Are you opening it wide if you need to?
And the comics and the video games. Let's see. The Rancor. The Rancor is definitely the grossest of all the characters.
The Rancor it is, from Joseph Tavano. The Rancor, grossest moment in Star Wars. All right, let's jump to our next question. I feel like I need to make sure that these aren't like trivia questions, because that's like the first ones that I come to see. But let's go for we kind of started hard a little bit. Just a little bit. I know I threw one out there. It was just Halloween weekend and it came to mind. Rancor is pretty darn gross. Let's be honest, though. That's a pretty scary scene. In fact, I thought about doing like three scariest moments of Star Wars for the show, but we already had so much news. That was the main body of our segment. Most one for me is the Dianoga scene. Fun fact. Speaking of which. Let's just stick it Halloween themed. Scariest moment of Star Wars. Can't say Dianoga.
Oh, I know. I can't say the Dianoga. Okay. Scariest moment of Star Wars.
Indeed.
When Luke is coming into Jabba's palace and he uses the Force to strangle the guards, the Gamorrean guards in the palace. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know if he's dark side or if he's light side. Who is this guy? Where has he been for the past year? That is the scariest part.
Excellent. No, that is kind of a creepy part. And especially...
You hear the music?
Like, that part of Return of the Jedi, I hear that so often for OT-era fans. Is like, that's you didn't know. You didn't know. And maybe it's because I'm naive, but I never doubted Luke Skywalker. I'm like, yeah, they're Gamorrean guards. They're gross. They deserved it.
He was always, you know, you never really worried about him too much, but you didn't know what was going on. You hear that music? Wow.
No.
And you have the whole synthesizer going on. Very, very ominous. You couldn't tell. That was pretty scary.
No, that, well, good point. Now, I'm actually going to bring one back that we had from one of our writers a couple weeks ago. So what's the nearest Star Wars themed item or collectible nearest to you? Right now, as we speak, as we record this very podcast.
I'm in the cave right now. All of my Star Wars memorabilia is here, so I am literally surrounded. The absolute closest thing is a recent acquisition I have, a 1977 Star Wars giant-size comic, number 2, which I purchased at a local yard sale for about $5.
Nice.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm so jealous now.
Mm. He threw in the Oromarco figure as well.
Nice. That's awesome. All right, so, and I'll bring the final question around. This is the one I kind of always like to ask. What's and this is more this you don't have to limit to the one or two sentence things. We can bring them a little bit longer now. But what is a moment for you that's kind of been a defining moment for you as a Star Wars fan? Something that you just look back and I say, I can't believe that happened, or I can't believe that experience. And what is a moment like that for you?
Wow, wow. Star Wars has been with me my entire life. I mean, what's a defining moment in the films?
I mean, it can be from the films. I personally like the twist of kind of a personal life. Now, often that surrounds the films, and we've had some.
Well, Riley, what is one of yours as an example?
Oh, see, now you're on me now.
See, Riley likes to come up with the questions, but doesn't like to answer them. So.
No, I've told the story. This is true. Like, yeah, you've got guilty as charged. No, I'll answer the question. Maybe that'll give you a moment, Joseph, to collect your thoughts as well. So I won't spring that on you too much, but. For me, and I've told this story on the podcast before, but it's been some time. It was at Celebration 6, and I'll never forget. It has to do with the phrase, really, really good. Now, you see, Jason knows the moment now.
Yes.
As on the last day of Star Wars Celebration, so Sunday in the morning, and the autograph lines are way down, and we had just been talking to Steve Glosson and Jimmy Mack briefly, and then some other Star Wars fans hanging out.
We'd actually just interviewed I just actually completely...
Daniel Logan, wasn't it?
Yeah. We had just interviewed him.
And we were just kind of chilling out. We didn't have anything to do for a while. And Bethany glanced over, and she's like... She leans over at me and says, Anthony Daniels' line's down. And I looked over at Bethany, and I'm like, you're crazy. Because, like, here's the... At that point, the Star Wars Report had been around for about 18 months, maybe a little closer to 2 years, but... Like, I've never in the mindset of, let's go ask Mark Hamill for an interview. Like, that's never
thing. That's me.
Yeah, that's more Ben.
And then I'm like, let's go do that, Riley. You go do that.
And so my reaction is, you don't bother C-3PO. C-3PO is above our purview. He's above our level. He's Anthony freaking Daniels. And, right. But Bethany motioned us over. And we asked his handler there, and he said, yeah, if the line goes down, yeah, I'll be sure to ask him and see if he has a free moment. And I was, well, in that case, well, just don't ask me twice. And so we waited there a few minutes, and the line went down, and he ushered C-3PO up to us. And we did about a five-minute interview. You can find it in our archives at StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes. It's going to be dated back around August 2012. It's in our episode archives, but at the end of that interview, it's not, I'm kicking myself because it's not recorded. Neither is his awesome bumper that he did for us.
Yeah. Oh,
such a painful moment.
No,
you know, the interview was over and the recorder had stopped and I was so sad, but at the end of the interview, it was just a 5 minute interaction, 10 minute interaction. And he said, wow, I've had a lot of interviews, and they're always the same questions. I really like the questions you guys asked. That was really, really good. And I was like, yes! I can go die now! I can die happy! Thank you, Anthony Daniels. You sir, have made my year, and 2 years from now, I will be talking about it on my Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, Anthony Daniels, that is... He just has such a presence, doesn't he?
He does.
He's thoroughly intimidating. Let me tell you, like I was scared of him because he's got such a quick wit to him that I'm like,
so fast.
He could, yeah. If he decided he didn't like me during the interview, he could just walk all over me.
Yeah,
like it would be
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I've seen him thrash people, and they don't even know. They don't even know they're being thrashed by Anthony Daniels.
Yeah,
I know. It's he leads up to. I've seen him do that in an interview, one that I'm specifically. Remembering where someone is asking him stupid questions, essentially.
Oh, it was like was it uncomfortable? Yeah, it was it uncomfortable in the C-3PO suit? And he just looked at the guy.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it was great. It's great.
And the guy swallowed it, too, on top of that.
Oh, my gosh.
So I say all that to say...
Why would you ask that question?
I don't know.
I don't know, but
that is exactly like, I know what this feels like. When I broke my ankle and had to have surgery on it, I was waiting for hours upon hours in the emergency room because I'd broken it pretty badly, horse riding. This woman who was sitting next to me after a few minutes, after she had sat down next to me, she was like, oh, does it hurt?
No, I came in here for fun.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm like, do you see that it is swollen twice its size? Anyway.
I did say so before. So I say all that having all that to be said. Joseph, what is a defining moment for you as a Star Wars fan?
Okay, I think I've collected my thoughts. I think I have a good one. So this is going way back. And I can't tell how old I must have been. I must have been 82, 83. And this is probably one of my earliest Star Wars memories as well. So I'm giving you a twofer. And I remember it was a late night. I suffer from asthma. I always have, always will. It's kind of not the greatest thing in the world to have to deal with, but it's manageable.
Yeah.
But when I was a little kid, my parents had the great, misfortune of having to take me to the hospital quite a bit, maybe every couple of weeks for a spate. And I had one of these late night asthma attacks, and I was just not having it. I could not deal. I was probably very fussy and really having to, just driving them nuts. So all they could do to calm me down was say, "Well, as soon as we get out of here, we're going to take you. We'll get you a Star Wars guy. We'll get you Star Wars, because that's what I called them. They were all Jedi guys and Star Wars guys. I didn't call them, you know, action figures, 3¾. That sort of terminology that was not on the sleeve.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah. So the thing that I could remember, I was like, okay, as long as I can get through this, I'll get out of here, and I'll get my Darth Vader, because that's all I wanted at that time. And we go to the 24-hour Medi-Mart that night. It was probably 9 p.m., but I'm thinking it's like 3 and 4 in the morning, because I'm so young. And we get there, and all they had on the rack was The Empire Strikes Back Chewbacca. And I clutched it. I clutched that figure like it was it was all of the medicine that I had received all night. Everything was going to make me feel better because I had Chewbacca in my hand. And I still have it to this day. I still have it in my Darth Vader plastic case, and I still reach and grab it right now. It's about 10 feet away from me. And that really, it just solidified my entire fandom. I take it all back to there.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That is really cool.
Well done, sir. And at the end, you saw Anthony Daniels, and he's like, that's really, really good.
Really good. Yep.
That's amazing, sir. Well done. I love it. I love it. You know, this segment's becoming like one of my favorite things now. I love this. We need to just like constantly get new people on the site just to have them on the show and ask them these awesome questions. But
what happened when you got too many?
It can't be the case.
I really like the fact that you came up with this idea after I'd already been on your show. So
that's true. We'll have to do yours sometime soon, Jason. But okay, well, I've got to ask you, because you were recently over this current weekend at Rhode Island Comic Con. So what was the scene there?
Yeah, it was crowded. I don't think anyone could have prepared for how many people were going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con this year. I was hearing a lot of different estimations, but tens of thousands of people. So much so that it was closed for a while. People couldn't even get back in. It was
wow,
off the charts. So really great turnout. People were, you know, I felt out of uniform because I wasn't dressed up. It was pretty amazing in that way.
That's really awesome. Cool.
That's awesome. And was there any good Star Wars stuff going down?
There was. I mean, you had your regulars. You had your Peter Mayhew. You had your Ray Park, Femi Taylor, Orly Shoshan. I could go down the list. But there was. I think that the Star Wars presence was mostly from the fans. They were dressed there. There was a lot of cosplay going on. I think one of the best things I saw was someone dressed up as Garandin. Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Garandin or Garandin? I can never tell.
You're totally stumping. I'm going to be totally transparent here and say you've stumped me. Is that like video game? Suit. Is that okay? Let's play.
The long nosed spy from.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Okay.
See, I'm showing my ignorance now.
Yeah.
See, I was going to play. That's really good, Jason.
That was actually. Do that again. I really want to hear that again.
Do it again. Oh, wow. That's amazing. I was going to play a game like, well, no, let's play a game and try to guess. And my first guess was going to be one of the Republic Commandos or something like that.
yeah.
Instead, we got Jason's amazing impressions. That's awesome. Now, did you get to meet any Star Wars celebrities or go to any Star Wars panels?
I did. I mean, because it was so packed, I wasn't able to get to that many people. And there really wasn't a large schedule of panels, but I did spend some time with Matthew Wood, who was always
such a cool
always
cool
a cool
dude.
Guy.
Cool dude, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fantastic. I spent some time with the 501st as well. They had Ryder Windham over at their table,
nice.
Who, you know, he's omnipresent in fandom. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Lyle was there as well, artist extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, now I have to ask, like, do you have a favorite moment from the convention for you? Was this like a new experience, or are you an old hat when it comes to these things?
Oh, this is my first convention. This was totally thrown in the deep end. I feel like it was fantastic, and I was swimming right as soon as I got in. It was definitely type of a brand new experience, but it was like, it felt like coming home in a lot of ways, because these are the type of people I've, you know, these are like my people. So yeah. As soon as I get in there, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
It's really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is indeed amazing. Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like it was a good time. And Joseph, I already feel like I know you, even though we've only actually talked for a few minutes here. But I'm so glad that you were able to come on to the Star Wars Report podcast. Is there anything you've already had some pieces up? I know folks can probably look forward to some of your content on the site. And I know you're going to be doing a write-up on Rhode Island Comic Con, right?
That's right. You can look for that. And there'll be a little bit more coming the way very soon. As soon as I find the time to write it up. I feel like I have more ideas for things to write than I ever have time for. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that
the way it always is?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Always.
Well, I want to ask you, Joseph, where can people find your work? Because I know you started a new site recently.
Right. You can find anything else that I'm doing while not at Star Wars Report at RetroZap.com.
RetroZap.com. Awesome. And I know you're on Twitter, right?
I am. I'm at what am I at?
Yeah, see that. I used to use like the weirdest name, and then I just reverted to at the Riley guy, just because like I could never remember how to spell the thing, or so that lasted all of like a week, I remember. Oh man.
Find me at Juwan Kenobi and at RetroZapped.
Awesome. Well, folks can find you there. And I'll tell you what, we'll also put all the links to everything you're doing in the show notes of this here podcast episode. And again, we thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. That's right. That puts this episode of the Star Wars Report in the books. Thank you for listening to this particular podcast episode. We're so glad that you were able to join us. And we thank you, Joseph. We thank you our representative from the Wampa's Lair podcast, Jason Hunt. We thank you, sir, as well.
Thank you.
And folks can find you at Wampa's Lair podcast on Twitter, right?
It's at Wampa's Lair on Twitter and Wampa's Lair Podcast on Facebook.
Wampa's Lair Podcast on Facebook. Yeah, because Twitter just had, they forced you to keep that down. So at Wampa's Lair. They're the Wampa's Lair. The single Wampa's Lair that you want to be following. Stuck in the caves of Hoth with nothing to do but talk Star Wars with your good buddy Carl. So we do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I forgot to mention at the outset of the episode, which makes me feel terrible, but Jason, we're so glad you were able to step in. Mark has been doing 4 days of Halloween Horror Nights with his scout troop, and his voice is shot like nothing. Ain't nothing coming out of the vocal cords of one Mark Herleman this weekend. So he texted me today, he's like, sorry, man, it's just not happening. So we wish Mark and his vocal cords a quick recovery. Indeed. Hey, if you want to follow us, we're at Star Wars Report on Twitter. You can go to facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Shoot us an email like so many awesome people did this week, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. We appreciate all those emails. You can also, if you want to get emails from us on occasion, sign up for our mailing list. It's StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. And another thing we do ask you to do, if you've enjoyed this episode or all other episodes of the Star Wars Report, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes.
And I did want to mention as well that we will be doing a giveaway next weekend, Star Wars books and toys and goodies, in celebration of getting our 10,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention. Thank you, Bethany. that's a great idea. Yeah, we'll be on lookout for that. And again, for the iTunes thing, it's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Mm-hmm. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. We also thank the amazing Joe, a.k.a. the Brutal One from Dark Empire Radio, for his awesome bumpers. You'll be hearing those more in future episodes. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Yeah! I started really channeling my Dr. Vindy right at the end.
Indeed.
Oh, man.
A quick note.
John Williams is the man.
There we go. I just want to play that again.
John Williams is the man.
So, Joey, you said you ran into Matt wood, and he said,